We so desperately are in need of your name, the name above all names, the only name that can save, to be in our lives, to be the one who sustains us, to be the ultimate truth, to be the ultimate word, to be our ultimate light. Because it's only your name that overcomes the darkness. It is only you, Lord Jesus, who have the ultimate victory. So, Lord Jesus, we turn to you this morning. We turn to your word, and we pray that you would break our hearts and make us fall deeply in love with you, deeply in love with everything you are, everything you have done for us and continue to do, that we would then be filled with your light and filled with your truth and grace as we go out into this world. In your name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Paula, for earlier reading to us from Psalm 119. So when I did a Google AI search for who is the most self-dependent person in the world, on that shortlist came up the American rock climber, Alex Honnold, who was made famous in the Netflix documentary Free Solo, because he climbed 3,000 feet of sheer granite on the mountain, the rock face called El Capitan in America. He did this in under 2 hours. But the most remarkable thing about this 3,000 feet of sheer granite rock climbing that he did was that he did not use any ropes. So I don't know if anyone can comprehend what that must be like to do 2 hours of rock climbing up 3,000 feet, 1,000 meters of sheer climbing with no ropes, no safety harness, nothing to catch you if you would fall. But that's what he did. And when they looked at his brain under scans, they found that his brain was even less responsive to things that should cause him fear. Alex Honnold would see his incredible achievements as a result of something inside of himself, his own ability to bring about this amazing feat, his judgment and assessment of his route. The risks and how to go about it were all judged by himself. And it was he who navigated these challenges that he saw on his route. And also myself, as I navigate this fourth baptism of the morning drop that's next to me as well. But we as Christians are not told to look inside ourselves for ultimate truth, nor are we keepers of a secret truth inside of us or a secret guide to our life. Our guide, our source of truth, our light, our lamp for our path is what God has given us. And the psalmist writes, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." So God's word for the psalmist in the Old Testament was God's revelation to his people through the Torah, which were the books of the Bible that Moses wrote. They were also the writings of the prophets that God has sent to Israel. Likewise, when the psalmist uses the words such as commandments or ordinances and precepts, these are also terms that he's using to refer to God's word in the Bible, especially those related to the Torah and the prophets. And we as Christians now, we can see how that word that the psalmist is talking about is relevant for us as we look at the New Testament, all that Jesus has done for us today. So the psalmist is declaring how God's word will be the truth that guides him through life. It will be the light that helps him to interpret the events of life, the path that he should take through them, from the good things to the bad things and the unexpected. And that's what Heather, Lucas, Letitia, on behalf of Georgie, were declaring this morning as they were baptized. Verse 107 says, "I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word." Following God is no free pass from suffering or hardship. Jesus will go on to say that following him can lead to more hardship and suffering and rejection. But the psalmist recognizes that God is faithful. He is the one who saves him ultimately. And he is the one that he can depend on all of his life. And we see this throughout the psalms, that the psalmist are clearly in deep pain, suffering, depression, anxiety. They are going through deeply difficult times. Yet they recognize God's presence. They recognize God's promises, even when they struggle to see them in their immediate situation. Verse 109, "Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law." We might not be clinging to a rock face like Alex Honnold, 2,000 feet in the air with a drop beneath us. But the truth is that we are sometimes and often and always clinging from our fingertips in our fragile lives that we lead. When we feel under threat, when our health and our wealth are at risk, what do we think of? What are we reminded of? What is our cornerstone? What do we turn to? Is it God's word? Is it Jesus? Verse 110, "The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart." Through this, you can hear how the psalmist passionately loves God's ways, loves God's word. He desires them above all else. He loves what God has done for him. He meditates on it. He thinks on it. He wants it to sink deep inside of him. He sees what God's promises are. He sees what God's words and laws are. And he thinks of them as the best thing. He wants that to be the thing that he is ultimately remembered for. He wants to leave a legacy of grace from God as being the ultimate thing that he is known for. That's why he wants it to be his heritage, his marker of success, is how he pleases God. It reminds me of the verse from the hymn, "Be Thou My Vision," where the hymn writer says, "Riches I heed not, nor vain, empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of treasure, heaven, my treasure thou art." Can we say that about what legacy we want to leave in this life and what we want to accumulate? Verse 112, "My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end." The psalmist is set on God's objective truth in God's word, and in the salvation that he has received from God, which he has set deep inside his heart, so that he is one who is trusting in God. And that is his ultimate truth. That is his ultimate word, is the word of God. And that's what he wants to hold to the very end. This truth given by God, this word given to him through God's scriptures. This is very different to what our society tells us. Some of our society and culture's top sayings are, "Be true to yourself. Look inside of yourself for truth. Be the best you that you can be." Because maybe if you try hard enough, if you look deep enough, you'll find something to sustain you there. And if we try really hard, we'll maybe just make it work. And you know, this can look good for a while, It can seem like it might work from a distance. Yet the truth is that without God's word as a foundation, then our life is built on sand and is so fragile. It can be washed away if not built on the objective rock of God's word. And we've heard from Lucas and Heather this morning about how they learnt God's word and how that has brought them closer to Jesus and revealed who Jesus is to them. And that is the foundation that they are looking to build their lives on. And that is the transformative power of God's word and Jesus. So what does it mean for us as Christians to have God's word as our light today? Well, reading from John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So this amazing passage helps frame our understanding of who Jesus is as we see John personifying the Word of God as being Jesus and showing how Jesus is joint creator with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in the Trinity to bring all things into being, and that Jesus is our light. He is the light of our world. Verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Where we find our own human fragility and how it fails and how it can be overcome, Jesus' light overcomes everything. Verse 10, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." Jesus' light and life-bringing truth and light was not accepted widely by God's own people, the Jews, and many others. They were looking for a king who would overthrow the occupying Romans. They were looking for the wrong thing. Are you looking for the wrong thing today? Verse 12, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave a right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God." Jesus' light and word changes our identity as we accept it. It changes who we are and makes us children again. We are children submitting to our Father. And again, that's where in baptism we are submitting ourselves to God's grace and his mercy. It's not an act of strength or power, baptism, but it's an act of submission. And that's a deeply powerful thing in this modern day, to submit to something where our society tells us to stand up and be yourself. We are told to submit to God and to let him be our truth and our grace and power. So we become heirs, we become people who inherit from the creator of the universe as his children. Verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, that's what we celebrate at Christmas. That profound truth, Emmanuel, God with us. God's word, God himself, Jesus, is now someone we can know, someone whom we can have a friendship with, who has come down to our level, even though he has made us. He has come, this beautiful phrase, full of grace and truth. It is this word, the word, Jesus, who is our light. We know him through God's word and through his Holy Spirit in us, revealing him more to us. The more we know God's word, the more we know Jesus. Today, can you say, Jesus, you are a lamp for my feet, a light for my path? Can you say, Jesus, you are the be and end all of my decision making? Your ways are what governs my life. Jesus, you are the motivator. You are the common thread throughout my whole life, my activities and my thinking. Well, this is a big challenge for all of us. But how can we do this? We can only do this if we have a deep love for God, a deep love for his word in the Bible, a love for what Jesus has done for us, and a deep satisfaction in his forgiveness, which he has given to us. And we can hear that, how the psalmist writes, that deep affection and love and joy which he gets from God. We can see that in how John writes and the beauty that he sees in Jesus and in God, which captivates him as he writes this first chapter of John. Are we obsessed with Jesus? Are we dwelling in his word? Are we singing his praises around our houses? Are we reminding ourselves of his promises when we are anxious, when we are low, when we are in difficulty, when we are feeling drawn out by our situations? Are we allowing God to draw us in? We are called to love Jesus, but he first loved us. He is loving us all the way. So as we turn to him in love, we see him saying, I loved you first. And he is waiting for us to return that love. But for so many of us, we see Jesus on the cross. We see his light, but it's just so hard for us to accept it, to fall into being a child, to submit ourselves to his grace and light, to accept this love and to think ourselves as worthy of that. Well, some of us, we prefer our own truth. We prefer our own self-dependence. We prefer to look up at the next 2,000 feet of sheer rock climbing of life, clinging on from the side of the rock, and think, I can find my way up this myself. I can see the best path to take. We don't love God's word deeply. We don't love his ways above all else. Sometimes we can meander on in this way, continuing on, lukewarm, not hot or cold. We can be in God's church, but not be in love with God. But God wants to draw us into a deep and powerful, loving relationship with him. And this is the overarching story of the Bible, which shows God's desire to draw us near to him. Whether it's the repeated forgivenesses that God shows to his people Israel, whether it's the songs and poems and psalms which are filled with praises to him, whether it's the passionate exchanges in Song of Songs, as those romantic songs mirror the great love that God has for us, his church, whether it's the tender washing of the disciples' feet by Jesus, or the compassion which he shows to those around him who are in need. All of these show the heart of God as he weaves a narrative of grace and love which culminates in the people of God in Revelation being the bride of Christ at the wedding. And this is what all creation is building towards, the church and Jesus being united. And God is not calling you to hide away from his light. He is not calling you to hide his word away. God is calling you into this powerful relationship of love that leads you to shout it from the mountaintops, to be satisfied in his love, to be satisfied in his embrace. That's why we sing in church. That's why we worship and sing about what God has done for us, about how he loves us, how great he is, his characteristics, what he is doing and will do for us in the future. And these are a greater song than the romantic songs and story that our society has. Because these humanly romantic love stories are just a mirror, a shadow of the great love that God has for us. So there is no room for a lukewarm response to someone saying, I love you. And that is what God is doing for us, and we must respond. And that's what Heather, Lucas, and Georgie, and Letitia, or Georgie, have done as they responded to God's love in baptism and accepted the promises that God has for them. So today, if you are a Christian, you have the living light of Christ living inside of you through God's Holy Spirit. We are then all children of God, called to show the world who God is, called to return this powerful love that Emmanuel, God with us, has shown to us, called to live our lives in light, the word of Jesus, so that we can say, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I love you, Jesus. I love everything you have given me. Let me never stray from you to the very end. Let's stand and pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you now, all in very different places. Some of us might feel like we are in a very difficult place of darkness just now. We might feel like we are clinging on with the last of our strength, with our fingertips to the rock face, with the drop below of the unknown. This might be related to our health, to our finances, to our work situation, our family situation, our mental health, our physical health. Lord God, we accept your light into our lives. We accept your light into our darkness. And we acknowledge that you, Lord Jesus, have overcome. That you, Lord Jesus, will not leave us in this place. That even in death, you have overcome that. And that we need not fear despite our hardship. Lord Jesus, help us as a church to love you more. Help us to not have stone hearts, but to have tender hearts brimming with love and joy for your ways and who you are and what you have done for us. Lord God, we are sorry for the things that have distracted us. We're sorry for the other influences in our lives which we have put above you, wherever they have come from. And Lord God, we repent of that and turn to you deeply weave your word into our hearts, that that is the first thing that we hear and see when we look at the world around us, that we would see the world through your word, that we would see the world through what Jesus has done, that we would see the world through you as King in heaven and God with us here on earth. Lord God, help us to bring you into every situation. Help us to have a deep, burning passion for who you are, God, that we can say, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. We love you, Lord Jesus. Be with us to the very end. Amen.